leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire, Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning. Learn more at CountryLifeFarm.com.
The PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at Parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA Day of the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series, yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
Your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing is all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
At the races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. About 5 minutes into hour three, Andy's going to join us as soon as Casey raises him. And, you know, that conversation with Shug, I think Andy's there.
I am.
You are?
I am.
Good morning.
Morning. What's up?
Well, I was going to, I'll save this for after Andy instead. I had Shug earlier and... We talked about one of the results at Laurel that he sounded a little miffed about, and I was going to go through those numbers. Andy, the big transition is here. Aqueduct, the winter is over, and Belmont, 48 hours away.
I'm not going to argue with any of that. I think all of that is true, but
it is true.
The right stuff.
Well, it's nice to get. I know that there's people who just love Aqueduct, and there's people who look forward to the changeover, and getting back to Belmont, and of course it's just different. You got a different just a whole different venue to digest and. The racing is different, and the lead up to to Belmont Stakes, just a nice time to makes the winter officially over.
Well, I think the winter was officially over sometime in the middle of March, wasn't it?
I've got Andy's very low to me. If you could bring him up a little bit, because I'm having trouble hearing him.
You're definitely having trouble. That I'm not going to argue with that.
Yeah. No, I can't hear you. That was the issue.
That's actually preferable, isn't it?
No, it's not. Some thoughts wrapping up Aqueduct as the meet ends.
Well, I thought we saw some good couple of the turf races this weekend. You know, good performances from both those horses that won for Chad Brown. Unanimous consent and consumer spending. Pizza Bianco ran fine in defeat. I think it's sort of easier to be the hunter than the hunted sometimes. And I think in her case, I understand why, but I think in retrospect, probably a little more concerned about the lack of pace in the race than would have been benefited her, whereas Manny just sort of sat back and waited for her to move and then sort of followed later. And she probably, in retrospect, it's probably a little soon, but I don't know. She just probably lost the better horse on Sunday. We'll see. I know there's talk of 7 Pizza Bianco going past that. That was an unfortunate decision, but, it's her horse, and I don't know how she's going to compete against the best mile series in Europe, but I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, that seems a little ambitious.
I understand the last certain situations. This is where I wouldn't go. And it's hard when, whether you like the race or not, we put up these enormous purse races for 3-year-old fillies and colts on the turf, and the winner of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly, stable in New York, goes to Aqueduct. You could argue that's a failure on our part. I guess maybe it's a distance question. Maybe they want to keep her at shorter distances. You have this kind of first in your backyard, it's worth Ascot. It'd be hard for her to make the second ride up at Saratoga. So, you're missing out on some opportunities, but not my horse. And, maybe she wouldn't be better with more distance. But I think a race like the Coronation Cup at Ascot, where you potentially get winners, the Irish Games and the English and the French, new races can come up extremely strong. Talking about taking on the best horses in the world in their backyard seems like a remote chance. So I know that Sharon was second, I think. She had a very nice Alpine Star here. It's got to be tough. Maybe that day will make a change. As far as the other winners, I'm sure they're going to be able to reach and the Wonder again to hopefully get to the Belmont Arenas.
Shug, actually, who was second to unanimous consent, he said Benign Ridge, definitely. He was very happy.
Yeah.
He thinks that horse is going to be okay.
I think he's okay. The unanimous consent was very impressive. Very impressive. He seems to be optimistic of the father, He's comparing them to the new kitten. My favorite big blue kitten story is I was teasing Chap Brown one day about him. And I said, he's the horse that you ran at the claiming race, his debut. He said, his debut? I ran him at three claiming races.
Beyond the two turf races, it was an interesting pair of outcomes in those state in the Stallion Series races, where both odds-on favorites end up beaten. And I know you didn't like Yo Cuts.
Yo Cuts was, first of all, was ridiculously overbet because she was coming off of been very much on the track, and this was a race where three quarters was going to be more speed, and I thought there was second. I went second and third in that race.
Kaz Mike's win, 2080. Did you see the cross country number? There's no guarantee that you were on the air.
I always on the air on Saturday for the late show. Unless I'm not.
There you go. Well, I have to look it up.
That's okay.
Because it didn't show. Well, we were in the car driving from
Florida.
Up here. The. No, I watch it in spurts when there's opportunity.
It's fine. I'm just making sure you know that now going forward. You'll have to ask. I always see the cross country big fight.
Well, the three short priced winners, Latruska, Homebrew, and Unanimous Consent, 380, 480, 510, and then Kaz Mike, 2080, and Last Samurai, 2780, and There was just one winner, right?
No. There were like 4,000 for 50,000. I want to say the parlays were around 10, 20, 200. I think it was 2,800. I think they were around 4,000 for 50,000. It's not one winner, Steve.
Hold on. The number on the website, because I couldn't find it in the chart. That's why I'm bringing it up.
Oh, I think it feels like it paid 4,000-ish.
There it is, 4,400. Yes, no, you're right, 4,400. But I will tell you that it was wrong on the website earlier this morning.
Okay. You want to contact the people who run the website?
Absolutely. But 4,400 is a nice number, obviously. And but you have to be.
It was a very, very, very difficult sequence to look. I agree. But Kaz is a very hard horse to have, and in that race where a lot of people obviously leaned on Galici, and I'm not sure if I was from the other legs, but I think Galici was probably the biggest symbol for the run of the sequence. And I don't think the winner of that race was 9-1, so after it won, it was probably at least 12-1 in the show. Samurai was not easy to have. I think they played very, very well, as he can stop and do. And that's, all that result shows is why it's incorrect to follow along with this perverse strategy of leaving out short-priced horses in pick fives. And this goes back to something that Doc said years ago to me about the fixes must be 4-5. So if it fixes, can have 2 or 3 short-priced horses. It doesn't matter. It depends on what the other results are. If you get a couple of big prices in there, they blow it up exponentially. And it's true. So this notion of these people who think that leaving out short-priced horses in a sequence is a way to make money, it's not. It's a way to prevent yourself anybody to have those horses to miss the sequence, they're only themselves to blame for horrendous prep. And there's a terrible sort of theory out there that that's a good way to prep. And it's not. And these kind of payouts prove that. They don't result in these sequences. You're not depending on a couple of overpriced horses if you can get a couple of overpriced horses in there. And if you pay for the bigger prices, you have to make sure you have the shorter prices on them. Token, there's also the legitimate argument that you should never be playing a multi-race sequence where the parlay of your horses insignificantly exceeds the amount of money in the pool. That's a different discussion. You know, anybody who has a pick five that has five 21 shots on it effectively and that ticket, you shouldn't even have that sequence on there on your tickets. And those people think that sounds ridiculous, but it's not. Because of the pool, there's 2 million in the pool, and you think you might scoop it, okay, but you better be sure, right?
Well, we'll get to a pool evaluation question in a minute, because I want to ask you about Derby and the mattress matter. There were 25 winners that hit.
I love Johnny's a lot of two long shots and didn't hit it because for some reason they didn't use the pool. I don't mean obviously the tickets for these people, but the losing tickets that used both prices and missed it.
No, it's a point well made. Latruska, Homebrew, and Unanimous Consent, and nobody over $5 essentially, and there was $4,400 out there for you if you could. Yeah, it's funny. I on one ticket I had Kaz Mike as a C, and this is why this was so tricky. Because
I'm not in any way suggesting that I could have hit this sequence or it was an easy sequence. All right, or anybody that had a play that put together those two horses and somewhere in their tickets they didn't hit the sequence, in all likelihood, play badly. I mean, I'm sorry, but you have to make sure that you have the logical horses, and obviously the truth there was a horse to beat by a lot. Of course, they won at Oaklawn in the three-year-old race. I mean, there's clearly the horse to beat, and that was the horse to beat, but I don't know, but I didn't think he was worth that short of price. I was going to say, I think that would be the horse you had last, but I did think he was like this world. I didn't think he was worth six or seven to five. I told him to be way wrong once.
Well, a good winter season overall, and we get started at Belmont on Thursday. What's the early prognosis looking ahead to Thursday and Friday?
Nine races each day. I don't know. I pretty much finished both cards. Looking forward to it. Hopefully, be nice to be back at Belmont.
Yeah, you can like Belmont and that.
I like them both.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's a lot easier for me to get that with us. No. Belmont's not that big a deal. It's just a little more cumbersome.
Well, the affirmed success kicks things off on Friday. State bred, obviously, in sprinting. And then the elusive quality and the license fee. The first big weekend, of course, is Derby Day with the Fort Marcy, the Sheepshead Bay, and the Westchester. The Ruckman on the day after Derby. And it all builds up to Belmont Day. Peter Pan, of course, the week between Derby and Preakness, and see how that group of three-year-olds comes together. Is this early, Andy? Is this early for the Man of War to be at that point on the calendar? Is that the right? Is that always where it is?
Well, you say always. What do you mean?
Well,
it was late in the fall until 2008 when Curler wanted to run the turf, and we moved it to the summer to July. And I'm not exactly sure, but we've had it here for at least 10 years, I would say. In the last four big day stakes for the last 10 years, I would say. We used to go down a little bit later, now we went there 4 weeks before the Belmont. We run that and the Man of War, but maybe the favorites do it that day. Oh, I thought it was like 4 or 5 stakes that day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice card. The there's a unique opportunity, I suppose, for Channel Maker to come back out of his win Saturday. A chance he won the Man of War back in 2019. So here he is at the age of 8 with a chance to be a 2-time winner of the Man of War.
Well, they get really coming for that race. And,
oh, good.
And Goofo. So Shanley could be a little trouble.
Huh. Interesting. Good. Your beer. That's great. All right. Andy, then let me ask you some Derby-esque questions. And I know people looking forward to the videos, your Derby Oaks videos next week.
Next Thursday.
Excellent. Well, we will, as we always do, we'll recirculate them. You and I were talking about the odds, and question actually, people very curious about how things are going to shake out at the top of the chart. And you made the point to me yesterday that with Mac making that big bet on Epicenter, it's going to be very difficult for him not to be favored.
Oh, yeah, we'll have to be favored with that. I think it's possible that Xander would have been favored if Mattress Mac was betting like it's $2 million on Epicenter. I think if Xander could have favored, if Xander made up that for that kind of bet, it's impossible for Xander for Epicenter not to be favored, I would say. I try as hard as I can not to form super strong opinions. I mean, this year, I think the press sort of spoke for themselves, so I like to wait until they draw the race. Not so much because I care that much about the posts, but I just feel more comfortably seeing the sort of field laid out together. I don't feel a great need to spend an enormous amount of time worrying about the race until it gets drawn. It's drawn on Monday, so there's not plenty of time to look at it. And, I think that anyone, I don't think any argument that you were to be a Xander in Epicenter doesn't mean there's a risk you would necessarily bet on. You know, I have a few dollars on Xander, maybe 20-1 in the future pool. Doesn't feel like I make the world's greatest bet. It just feels like I'm sitting on a decent bet right now. So it was the vote final pool, which is like 40-1. You have to look at it. I mean, Classic Causeway obviously puts more speed in the race, and that's going to help Xander. But, Epicenter's obviously very good. He tactically can get himself good trips. But on the other hand, he's also had extremely sweet trips in all his races, and at some point, that gets a little bit problematic. And maybe you won't get quite as good a trip in the Derby. And for that reason, especially with Matt getting that money on, he's backed out. Now, he's not going to be the same kind of value with Exactus. So, probably playing Exactus and Try and things like that, you'll get a more realistic understanding. And I'll tell you, if you like Epicenter, you should probably be betting whether it's your pick three, Big Dreams or something. There's more of a step, so that is complete the force. Whatever it is on Derby Day, or that an Oaks Derby double, because he's going to be underweight because of that step. So you probably wait to get a better payout if you play through those other rules, if you like him. I don't really have a lot of strong opinions. You know, I think it's fairly obvious that the weakest bet for the ones in Arkansas. It's hard for me to endorse anybody. I think he's a nice horse. He played really well last time. I just think he's probably a couple of the best horses, but I wouldn't completely discount him. I think he's well enough in that race. I don't think you could, it's fair to be able to say that he's not possible. I want to start taking a look and give him more of a look when the race gets drawn. I wouldn't take anybody else that ran Arkansas besides those horses. Besides Iowa. I mean, I don't have any idea what people like Marvel Rose. At least he's got really good trips closing in the fast race races. He's got great rides from Rose. And he's just not as fast as quite a few other players in that race, so they would either get awfully lucky and get fourth or third, but they should move back him, I guess. But in general, the Derby doesn't have as many tough trips as sometimes
question, and this came up yesterday with Mike and I, Mike Welsh and I, you know, kind of going through some of the some of the base element, and just a, you know, if there isn't a certain pace factor that at least stretches the field out a little bit and gives people room, you know, we've had a series of derbies, it seems, where the field has been pretty compact, and you know, they used to spread out more, and there'd be, you know, there'd be more lanes for people to operate. It seems like they kind of stack up more than they used to with this, without those pace factors.
Yeah, I don't. That to me, that's a silly conversation. It's a good race by race dependent. If the pace is faster, the field will spread out. If the pace is slower, it'll be something more like. But I don't care what happened last year, the year before that. I don't really care how the race looks this year on paper. Yes, that's correct. Slow paces compact fields more and make it tougher for closers because they have a pace that fast and it's more traffic and et cetera, et cetera. And fast paces spread them out. So we'll see how fast the pace looks once the field settles. You know, classic cars are obviously injects more speed in the race. Hard to see Messi and not being forward in this race. It's hard to see Kyle Tabor that far out of it. You know, obviously, clearly voting could establish more speed. It appears he's not running. So,
I made the point to people this morning that, you know, with Chad Brown giving the indication that, and the fact that early voting's not here, that it basically, if people are trying to reimagine how the pace would be without him, I don't think you have to with Classic Causeway now going. I mean, yeah, I think early voting would have had the opportunity. I said this, I think, 2 weeks ago, Andy, that to me, he really had a Bodemeister feel to him, you know? The hard-spun feel to him, a horse that could absolutely take a Derby field a long, long way.
Well, I don't know if early voting showed to be as good as Bodemeister. I personally always feeling for early voting. You know, we'll see. It's unlikely runs here, but likely he shall complete this next race he could win.
Right.
But he's got to get a little bit faster, you know. It's hard to... If he didn't win the wood, I'm not sure why he would make an argument he's going to win the Derby. I mean, I know it's an excellent lie to be a book. He probably needs to win the wood by 2 or 3 runs. I really like him in the Derby, you know? But I think it's a good horse. He only won 3 times, and he's done pretty well considering what he's done in those 3 races. I think he has every right to turn out to be a very good three-year-old. How good remains to be seen. The horse you're saying nobody's talking about is running on Derby Day, not the Derby. I mean, I think in a lot of ways, the most exciting three-year-old running on Derby Day is... Isn't there an obvious answer to that question?
The most exciting?
Yeah, Jack Christopher's returning on Derby Day. Isn't that awesome?
Okay. shouldn't that be a conversation?
Well, no, I mean, I you know, he's coming back in the Pathé Mile. I'm not saying he'll necessarily turn out to be a mile and a quarter horse, so, you know, all things go well, we'll find out from the Travers, but a pretty darn good horse. And if Chad's running in a race at the Derby, remember the pack winner, the Derby trial, I'll have a good at that. In that case, he's obviously must be doing well. I mean, I haven't talked to him about him, but he must be obviously optimistic. I mean, last he mentioned to me, he was very optimistic, but that was a while ago, a month or so, a month and a half ago. But, Christopher's a monster. So, it'll be interesting to see what he does in the Pathé Mile. I know the Derby's obviously a more important race of all the horses running on Saturday. I mean, the most interesting horse in the Derby is Tabor, right? Because he's probably, I mean, he's running in this race is going to prove to be a smart move going forward. Those are two very different conversations. But he's a good horse. I'm looking forward to him coming back.
We should also one last question, because we forgot to kind of we touched on it only as part of the pick five, but what did you make of the Apple Blossom and Letruska gutting it out for the repeat?
The race was run in a lot of ways the way it looked on paper. She was controlling speed, and she might be the best horse to race, and still make her drop the cash. I think the one thing she showed is she's still a really good horse. She doesn't seem to have lost a particular step from last year. I mean, arguably, she ran better in this race than she did last year. She may have taken a little more pressure last year. I don't remember what fractions were. I think Connie Irwin very well. But when you're going to be pace compromised continuously in races, you got to have a pace. You know, she lost the Mother Goose last year because she got left. And she lost her best chance to win this because when she goes slowly, I thought I was going to do the right thing and sort of shut the door off. She got out of the gate cleanly, that's a very different story. I'm not saying she beats Latruska, but it's a bit of a lot. But I think that Barry Rare has shown already this year that she's turned the corner from 3 to 4, as you see with Loudies, Ask Me Some Louders. You know, they really have improved over time. Whereas Malathot is running back and double up there, and I'm not going to condemn her because she's been one of those slow rates. Got 88 backers. She went up to the second fast in her maiden race, two races over. That horse is purchase price notwithstanding. So she's going to have to run a lot faster between now and the fifth if she's going to beat those horses.
Yeah.
I don't mean that. Yeah, that's the boost. I mean Carrier too. And yes, she was a better horse than Carrier last year, but the margin wasn't that significant that if she hasn't moved forward or if even taken a step back, Clarier seems to have taken a little step forward, the very least a little step forward. I think Clarier has a chance to be a force in that division. I'm not discounting the two score, I'm a big fan of two. But I think you have to be encouraged by what you've seen from Clarier in both her starts this year. And taking nothing away from Matruska, who's a really, really terrific horse. And listen, Cece, the reality of Cece is that she's a better sprinter. She's run well at Oakland and Walker. Her race in the Azaro is not good enough to beat these horses. I don't think she was raced herself better, but she ran very well, as a matter of fact. But she's not quite, you know, because the business race, she had to come out with a boost at some point around the turn, put that one away, and hold up Ferrière, and that was going to be a very, very difficult task. And the fact that she ran as well as she did, I mean, there's credit to her.
She's best served in the one turn scenarios.
Cece won the Abbott in a 14 horse field from post 14 2 years ago. Don't forget that.
Yep, it's true. We'll see Michael W. McCarthy, she feels like a horse that would have really benefited from the Belmont configuration, you know, the mile and the eighth opportunities that...
In the fifth?
Yeah.
No. I don't...
Why not?
Because one turn... one turn routes have faster paces, so they're designed better for closers. She's not a one turn horse. She's a horse who's better sprinting. She showed the ability to run effectively at two turns as well as she did in her prior start. The one turn of the fifth, in my opinion, would work exactly against her. As a matter of fact, it would tend to keep the pace up and make it tougher. Why would it be easier for her to win the fifth with Letruska in there than it was in the Apple Blossom? Letruska's already shown the ability to run reasonably faster or in contested situations and still finish. I don't think CC has in the same way.
Interesting.
I don't believe believe in this one-turn, two-turn horse thing. I think in general it's a distance thing. And why wouldn't it be? But two-turn routes have slower paces than one-turn routes in general.
Sure.
And that's why one-turn routes are often more conducive to closers. You know, that's why you look at, you know, a horse like, you could even say Nick's Gobble. That was better in the two-turn races. The paces were slower. You know, why was Monaco so good in the best mile? You make that huge long run. Not going to be as effective on two turns, but he won the Whitney. He was. But those one-turn mile races are built for horses like an Honor Code. And frankly, probably built for Clairière. I think the only time that she ran it was in the Mother Goose, where it had that super slow pace. I would think if you're the connections of Clairière, you're drooling at the prospect of being in that fix. So we can get out of the gate.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm a fan of CC, and I think it's great that she's still in training. But I'm curious. I mean, I imagine because of the connections, they want to run a race like Clement Hirsch with some of Delmar again, but, you know.
Exactly.
And they really aren't, you know, she decided to run this race instead of what used to be the Gannett Distaff, now the Derby Tilly Distaff. I mean, I don't know who's running it, but I looked at the list of a few horses you have put up on your board yesterday, and it's not exactly Murderer's Row.
What does Rob Atrus do now with Maracuja?
Her get a time machine and sell her in last year's November sale at Keeneland? She's not fast enough to beat these horses.
No, it doesn't look like
I know that, you know, she had an exciting race at Saratoga, and that was really great. I think continuing to run races against these horses, I mean, it's a little tough at this point. Are you going to really rush her back and learn the Alaire DuPont or whatever? Stuff. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, you know. I don't know. But at this point, she has not shown herself good enough to compete with these horses. You know, you're going to see her running the Delaware back, probably. And she probably won't be good enough to win that race. And you know, I don't want to take away her coaching club, but she has not run particularly well since then. And it's not like her comeback, where she won, was very good.
No, she returned. She actually returned, I'm just looking from a fig standpoint, she actually returned at the same level that she left in the Cotillion.
Right, 83 miles she won that race. So, anyway. It's 11:40. Don't you have another guest? Lined up?
I do. I might. I've got a couple things I got to clean up and get out of the way ahead of midweek. So, Andy, this was great, and enjoy the return to Belmont, and hope the sun is shining. Keep you warm.
Have a wonderful time in Louisville.
Thanks. Talk next week. Andy Serling and Belmont back on Thursday. We're actually running. We're in the fifth. Getting Shazando back on the turf, which I've been looking forward to. It's a couple of tough-looking returnees. Clamont brings back a horse that was that took the winter off. And who else? There was, I think, DePaz. Horacio DePaz, I think, has got a... Barry Schwartz, state breds, going six on the grass. I'd gotten a text from the racing office. They potentially were going to split that race, but then they ended up letting it go, and it went with a big full field. So, putting the blinkers on too. Which could help. Let me do what I started. I was going to start it, but Andy was ready. So let me wrap up the long coverage that we did with Callie Francois. And as Shug had mentioned, that he was a little, you could tell, he was really hoping that In a Hurry was going to
was going to win that Dahlia, and she went off at 70 cents on the dollar. And she ran okay, but deciding vote with Angel Suarez. And Mashug's got nobody to blame but himself, because that five-year-old mare is a daughter of Mr. Speaker. to Eddie Graham, trains for Bill Pape. And nice to see Mr. Pape, who, of course, you see on a regular basis on the jump circuit. Nice to see Pape with a winner on the flat. This was the 1 mile variety. And 12 bucks, 5-1 winner deciding vote. Out of the Include mare, Shepherd's Pie. That was that's why Shug was disappointed. In the Native Dancer, you had the biggest price of the sequence and of the stake group. And how about a 40-1 shot? Unbelievable for Bruno Tesori and Proud Stable with a Calumet bred Include gelding Rough C. Unbelievable from the inside. And there were actually 2 40-1 shots, too, because Big Venezuela, which also is a Tesori trainee, was 40-1. So Tesori sent out a pair of 40-1 shots, and this one was just slightly higher and paid $83. Unbelievable. And that Denny Aramo winning races. You see the... Yeah, so I've seen him win a few. That was the Native Dancer. You had the Henry Clark, Shea Pierre, even money for Leal, the Jacksons, and Arno Delacour. This one under Daniel Centeno. Second start in North America, and this may be a nice horse. This may be a real nice horse. Has fired off two nice wins, and this one by half a dozen lengths, and has registered two 90-plus buyers, 96 in the U.S. debut. It was off almost a year before showing up at Tampa and winning an allowance, and you know, is undefeated. 98 buyer winning the Henry Clark. So we'll see what this gelding does next. This is a nice find for the Jacksons. We'll have to find out more next time we talk to Arno. The King Leatherberry, the Turf Sprint. True Velour, this one, Grand Motion, and Larry Johnson. Back from the try, and actually the very solid try, True Velour, had that effort in the Alquaz at Maidan, and comes right back, wires this group as the second choice, co-second choice. Fergal Lynch aboard, is a Kodiak 8-year-old. He's a full horse. He's not a gelding. True Velour. And if you remember back, Simon Callahan had him originally, and Larry Johnson got him, and Graham, tell you what, what kind of figure did he get? 89. He's run, you know, bigger numbers historically in the 90s, and... So keep an eye on True Velour. What did he go off at? 7-2. Nice enough number. And in the Primanetta, Kylosaurus with Hector Caramanos. Second choice, 3-2 for Tim Kreiser. And a group that includes Bush Racing and Liberty House Racing, Black Ridge Stables, and George Softly. Congratulations. Pennsylvania-bred Munnings, 6-year-old mare. Kalosaurus. And she must have upset, yeah, she upset Princess Kokachin. But it's interesting. Cinnabunny picked the right spot. That was smart. That was a smart move by Cal Lynch to bypass this race on Saturday for the unique Bella. That was a good move. 89 buyer for Kalosaurus. She spent the winter. She was good. She's been good. She's been a nice... she was claimed for $25,000. What a nice claim this has been. Very nice claim. Second, she won the Wheel on the Move as well. So, earlier in the... she's made herself... She's a Munnings. I mean, the six-year-old mare. She's made herself very valuable. And she was claimed for $25,000. That's a nice... you know, there's a horse you probably, I mean, if you want to breed her, you can, or you get to the fall, and you put her in the sales. So, and while we're doing this, let me also clear off, although I probably will bring it up with, Joe Clancy on Thursday. Tom Law, of course, will be here. We'll talk to Tom with us next week. The action at Middleburg and at Butler. Now, the Carrie Breon Fest continues. She wins the Temple Gwathmey with Iranistan. And pretty much wire to wire. And seemingly got the snap decision loomed up and could not... You know, could not get past. So, Iranistan wins the Grade 2 Temple Gwathmey, and in the Hunt Cup, you had Storm Team wire-to-wire for Jack Fisher and Sheila Williams and Northwoods. Hudson River, of course, for the veteran Iranistan. And in the big timber race at Butler at the Grand National, Road to Oz, Mark Beecher, Holwood Stable, and with a horse that Larry Johnson bred. How great is that? I hadn't noticed that until just now. Road to Oz. How about that? That's pretty cool. And he's become a timber. He's 7 years old, so he'll be around. He's got a nice career ahead of him yet, going over timbers. That's great. I love it. All right, so we talked Ben Ally, and I think that's all the stakes. That was there any? Let me see. Laurel Aqueduct, Keeneland, Oaklawn. There was a couple of stakes at Chucktown. John McKee with No Change won the Confucius Say, and in the original gold, Bound to Be Bad for Casey and Almodovar. And Sunray Park, too. You had the Russell and Helen Fouts Distaff, Lemon Drop Gold, and Mind That Star won the inaugural at Sunray. So there we go. All right. We did it. We got all the stakes action covered off for the weekend. And I think we got Popo hanging out. Popo, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm all right. How'd we make out for the weekend?
Yeah, we talked about that late before at Keeneland on Saturday and didn't have the first winner, but had Scalding in the Ben Ali and then Channel Maker, and then it finished with Condemned. So it was a $9 ticket, if you know, because the scratch of Phantom's Currency came out. So it was 3x2x3, $9, and it yielded 160, so not bad at all.
No, not at all. And I had retweeted the charting, and we had run through it together. And I saw that if you rebooted, if you're going to get knocked out of pick four, the first leg is preferable. You can reboot.
And for a minimal investment, $9, could have played it for $1. So it was a fruitful sequence.
Well, the
a couple of things, because I appreciate the link that was sent to me over the weekend, and I did have time. I was in the car, and I got my first chance. Discussed it enough, long enough over these last 3-4 months, and it's going to take some getting used to, Papo. It's a you know, it's the same, but there's a lot of new nuances to incorporate into, you know, into the sliders and you know, the way in which I'm a bit of a creature of habit, so it may take me a little bit to make the adjustment.
Yeah, there's some big changes that we did. We made those changes to make it easier on mobile devices. This version is absolutely made to be used on your phone or your tablet, and so you don't have to, you know, go to landscape mode or anything on your phone. You can just swipe your phone left or right to get to the data that you need to look at. And I'll be doing, I'm going to start doing videos again, Steve, on YouTube and then Twitch. Now that we've got the new version here rolled out, and I think those will be very helpful to users.
Well, I was going to say because the tutorials, they're not the existing ones. They're not obsolete, but I mean the way the graphics are laid out, I guess it is going to be necessary to, you know, to kind of reorient.
Yeah, now, the basic data is still there in terms of the form, the wind times, and everything, but the way that we're presenting it is a little bit different. But, you know, that comes with change and improvements, so we'll make the adjustments and, you know, a little bit of a learning curve that we hope to get everybody on board soon.
All right, well, and I'll have to start using the graphics. You know, I will say one thing that you wouldn't have thought of it, but the original graphic package, it does get, you know, more lines of visual in, you know, it doesn't go as, when you do a screen cap, you know, to post them, you're not getting as many, you know, you're not getting as big a snapshot.
Yeah, I mean, if you're using it on your computer, you'll get the full screen,
right.
But the whole idea of the mobile device is that we don't want users to have to click from one screen to another. We want to just be able to have them flow back and forth very easily. So that's the idea behind this version. I mean, we think that 95% of the users are going to be using it on their mobile device anyway, from the testing that we've done. So that was the primary driver behind the changes.
Well, we're going to walk everybody. We've got a bunch of people that came along and love it, and tomorrow we'll do some Happy Valley with Dick. But we're also, how close do you think we are to putting up a snapshot for Derby?
Yeah, I'll talk to the guys on Thursday in Australia and see what they can do for getting a special package up for Derby, but excited about that, Steve. We started going through replays last night for both the Oaks and Derby, so the fever has officially hit the city.
No, no doubt. Having been here for Thunder, that'll get you up and ready. You got anything today? Did you look at any?
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to look at anything today, Steve. But maybe this afternoon I can put some stuff up for Indy. And are you gonna be at opening night on Saturday or?
No, I'll be back. I'll be in Connecticut. I've got to go home.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's unfortunately the only day I'm going to be at the track over the next 2 weeks.
Oh, jeez. All right.
Was hoping to catch you, but maybe next time.
Well, I can catch you off hours too. I mean,
yeah, that works. And I'm going to be going up to New York Belmont Week, so that would be an option too.
Cool. All right.
To meet with some people up there. So we'll try to. Yeah, I really want to meet you because after 15 minutes, I could give you a great tutorial, and then you'd be off to the races, so to say, on form to win.
Well,
so
absolutely help everybody form to win. Hang in for a little bit, folks, until we get to throw the switch on the new interface. That way you only have to learn it the one time. And Papa, I will talk on Friday. We'll get a couple of plays into opening night at Churchill.
Yeah, sounds great, Steve. I'll talk to you Friday.
You got it. Papa 401, everybody. Form to win. Thanks to Papa and Andy and James Scully for the extensive breakdown of Briz VPs and Claude Ray McGahey the Third. Tomorrow, back with you, and we'll talk then. Got a big Wednesday show as we continue to gear up toward opening night here. Keeneland the last 3 days, of course, and Indianapolis, Indiana, Horseshoe, ready to go again today, second week. Talk to you tomorrow, everybody. Thanks.
On Sirius XM Radio.
The Belmont Stakes returns to Belmont Park Saturday, June 11th. Tickets to the top of the stretch, the premier trackside picnic area with personal grills are almost sold out. Tickets to the Test of the Champion are on sale at BelmontStakes.com. Hurry before it's gone.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning. Learn more at CountryLifeFarm.com.
Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at Parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd. PA races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series. Yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective.